course, the different needs in our church with our youth and our children. Father, Lord, thank you so much for your many blessings. Lord, Father, just the blessing to gather. Lord, the blessing to be able to have Awana and youth. And Father, Lord, just to be able to be here tonight, Lord, for the breath in our lungs. Father, if it wasn't for you, we would have nothing. And Lord, we do just surrender these needs to you. Father, Lord, we do pray for Israel. Lord, Father, for those who lost their life. Lord, for those who are separated from their family. Lord, it's hard to even understand what's happening. And Father, in a time like this, all we can pray, Lord, is for your will to be done, Father. Lord, Father, we know that we live in a fallen world. Lord, we live in a broken world. And so many times we read the news and we see things, and Father, we question why it happens. But Lord, we know, Father, even when the storm is at its worst, Lord, Father, you are here with us in the storm. And Father, we pray for your presence. Lord, Father, we pray for your peace, your mercy, your comfort. Lord, Father, we give you all the glory, Lord, for those who are in remission of their cancers, Lord, Father, Father, the successful surgeries. Lord, we also pray for those going through cancers, those going through surgeries, Father, those going through trials and tribulations. Lord, you know every need. And Father, we surrender those needs at your feet. Lord, Father, we trust that your ways are greater than our ways. Lord, Father, we pray for your will to be done in all things. Lord, Father, help us to be the hands and feet. Lord, help us to be obedient. Lord, help us to live out our faith everywhere we go. Lord, we pray for this time, Lord. Father, focus our hearts. In your name, the precious name of Jesus, amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. And we are going to continue our series. Last week we began it. We looked at living in the will of God. And, of course, we looked at three things that Paul talked about. Now, the will of God is something that you might have heard before in church, or maybe you've heard just going through the Bible. And you might say, well, what is the will of God? Well, very simply, the will of God is being obedient to the Lord. The first thing the Lord wants you and I to do is to know him. Not know about him, but know him in a personal way. The second thing the Lord wants you to do is to be obedient to all things. And so Paul here, he's writing to the church, and he lists several things. But there's three specific things here in verses 16 through 18, and he ties these three things to the will of God. And Paul is telling the church, if you do these things, if you are faithful, if you are obedient, if you do these three things, then you are living out the will of God. And church, we need to know what the Bible tells us, but more importantly, we need to do it. And so last week we talked about rejoicing always. What does it mean to rejoice? How can we rejoice at all times? And this week we are going to talk about prayer. And so I want us to look here at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. If you have that, please stand in honor of reading God's word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, just three verses, beginning in verse 16. The word of God says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Dear Lord, Father, give us ears that will hear, Lord, eyes that will see, Father. We ask this in your name, the name of Jesus, amen. Now, I don't know about you, but those are three very simple verses. But here's one thing I've learned about the Bible. Just because it sounds simple doesn't mean it is. Have you ever met someone who is healthy? Have you ever met someone who, man, they take their health seriously? And maybe you don't take it quite as serious as they do. I know I don't take my health as serious as my doctor would like. And sometimes when you talk about what you're eating compared to them, you can almost feel the glare. You can almost feel them looking at you and saying, you shouldn't be eating that. Well, in the same way spiritually, sometimes we know what we should and shouldn't do, and we choose to live the way we want to live, even though we know that it's not spiritually best for us. And so even though it sounds simple, even though it sounds, oh, that's easy, that's not hard to do, we still need to understand how to live that out. And tonight, we are going to look at how can we pray always? How can we pray without ceasing? Now, for years, if you asked me, well, Tyler, how do you pray? As a young child, even as a teenager, I would say, well, to pray, you need to get on your knees. You need to bow your head. You need to close your eyes. You need to cross your hands together. Because as a child, if I thought about prayer, I would think about my father. And every single night, my father, before bed, would get on his knees, and he would pray. And so in my mind, I would think about that. And then I would go to church, and what do people do when they pray? They close their eyes and bow their heads. And so in my mind, I thought that prayer was always associated with a physical stance. And the truth is, the more we read Scripture, yes, God wants reverence. God wants us to take prayer serious. He wants us to be very reverent when we pray. But do we have to close our eyes and bow our heads and be on our knees when we pray? No. See, at the very base form, prayer is simply communication. That's all prayer is. We make it more complicated, but if someone says, what is prayer? Prayer is communicating with God. Think about your closest relationship. Maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your child, maybe it's your best friend. Why are you so close to that person? Well, it comes down to communication. You can say, well, I have a best friend. They know everything about me. But if you haven't talked to that best friend in 3 years, maybe they used to be your best friend, but currently they are not as close to you as they used to be. Why? Because you're not communicating with them. Sometimes we say we're God's. We say that we're his child. We say that we are faithful to him. We know him. We have that relationship. But then we say, well, when's the last time you prayed to him? Well, I pray, you know, 30 seconds before I eat. Or I pray when grandma gets sick, or I pray when I'm in a situation. And listen, I'm not trying to downgrade that, because we all get in those ruts. We all get in those situations. But what we have to remember is prayer is not complicated. And prayer is not meant just for the church house. Now, do we pray as a part of this service? Absolutely. But we are to pray at all times. The Bible often talks about specific times to pray, whether in the morning, whether before a meal, whether at night. But when Paul is talking about praying constantly, he is trying to get to understand several different things. And tonight we're going to talk about three things very quickly. The first, how do we pray always? We are to pray consistently. Now, the word consistently means in every case, on every occasion. And you might say, well, hold on, Tyler. I can't pray all day. I have stuff to do. I got work. I have kids. I'm busy. What do you mean pray in all circumstances? Do you know that you and I can have an attitude of prayer? We can have a mindset of prayer. Once again, I want to compare our prayer life to that relationship with the closest person. Think about that person you're so close to. Are you thinking about them even when you're not talking to them? Are they on your mind? For those of you who are married, are you constantly thinking about your spouse? For those of you who are parents, are your children on your heart? Because you love them and because you care about them, they mean something to you. They're important to you. In the same way, God wants to be the apple of your eye. He wants to be your treasure. He wants to be valuable to you. And if you and I are constantly thinking about the Lord, if he's in our thoughts, if he's in our minds, then prayer is not something we have to go out of our way to do. Just like we talk to a friend, we can talk to him. For years, I was a delivery driver. I drove all over Central Arkansas, and at times, I would be in that truck for several hours between stops. And over time, my best prayer life came in that truck. Now, my eyes were open. I didn't close my eyes. But in that truck, it was just me, God, and a bunch of boxes. And I was able to vent to the Lord. I was able to just lay my heart and my burdens and my concerns and my praises. And through that time, the Lord showed me I didn't have to be on my knees to pray. I didn't have to be in the church house to pray. All I had to do was have a mindset constantly thinking about the Lord. That's what God wants. The second thing we see tonight is pray persistently. Now, that word persistently means in a persistent manner, continuously. If you are a persistent person, that means you do not quit. That means if you are dedicated to something, no matter the trials or tribulations, you're not going to stop doing it. Why? Because you are persistent. You are determined. You have your mind on that. In the same way, when it comes to our prayer life, we are to be persistent. What does that mean? It means that we are not to quit. Often when we pray for specific needs, they are not going to be answered in one day or one week. And often, if we're honest, they're not going to be answered in the way we think they should be. Why? Because our ways are not of God. The Bible says His ways are much higher than ours. And sometimes we think we know the whole picture. We think we understand. And the truth is, we don't. So what do we pray? We pray for God's will. We pray for His peace. We pray for His understanding. But we have to pray persistently. Because often, when do we need to pray the most, church? In the darkest times of our lives. When we feel broken. When we feel like there is nothing left to do. In those moments, in those storms of life, that is when you and I need to pray the most. How do we have that strong prayer life? If we're persistent. If we do not give up. If we are constant. The third and final thing tonight we're going to look at is we are to pray faithfully. Faithfully means to remain true to something. I am proudly married to my wife, and a part of my relationship with my wife is that I made a promise that I would love her and I would only desire her. I would not desire anyone else. I would not want anyone else. I would remain true to her. Why? Because I love her. And because before God, I made that commitment to her. In the same way, when we say that we are Christ, when we say that we belong to Jesus, we should commit our lives to Him. And we should say, Lord, no other gods before You. Lord, You are my closest treasure, even more than my spouse, even more than my children, even more than my job, even more than my priorities. Lord, You are my constant. And if we understand that God, just like we are faithful to that spouse, God wants us to be faithful to Him in our thoughts, in our actions. Everything we do should remain true to our walk with Him. And if we remain true to Him, including in communicating with Him, because once again, if we love the Lord, we are going to pray to God. You might say, well, Tyler, I don't have a strong prayer life. Well, let me tell you something. It's not easy to start a habit until you're in that habit. They always say the hardest part of a habit is the first 2 weeks. It takes you 2 weeks to build the foundation of a habit. You have to do something every single day for 2 weeks before your brain even begins to think, hey, maybe we should do this. So maybe we don't have that prayer life. Maybe we're not praying on a regular basis. So what do? Set apart 2 weeks starting tomorrow and say, Lord, for 2 weeks I'm going to be faithful to pray to You. Set out times. And you might say, well, Tyler, you said that we need to pray constantly. But guess what? When you're starting a habit, what do you have to do? You have to start somewhere. I remember years ago as a teenager, my youth pastor challenged me to pray more. And I said, well, what do? And he gave me 5 times a day to pray. And that's how my prayer walk began. Some days I missed it. Some days I only prayed 3 times. Sometimes I only prayed 1 time. But I began to diligently think, Lord, have I prayed to You today? Father, have I communicated with You? I would challenge each of us to pray. What is our goal? Our goal is to be closer to the Lord. Our goal is to pray without ceasing. Why? Because you and I will not be in the will of God unless we do. But don't feel overwhelmed. Don't say, well, Tyler, I can't do that. Listen, for those of you who like to run and you like to be athletic, you're not going to go out tomorrow morning if you've never ran and run 3 miles. Maybe if someone's chasing you, you might run 3 miles. Maybe if there's a free food truck, you might run 3 miles. But physically, you are not going to be able to run 3 miles. Why? Because your body is not ready. But how can you prepare yourself for the 3 miles if every day you do more and more and more? Church, in the same way, don't think, well, I'm not here in my prayer life. How do I get here? One piece at a time, one day at a time, one prayer at a time. And remember, praying is not complicated. It is simply communication with God. Amen? Let's stand together.